There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have you along, and we are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and it's your chance to stop by and get registered for the big giveaway. We'll talk more about that coming up. Also, while you're here, grab a Dewdrop hot dog. Check out everything from the fantastic selection in jewelry to collectibles to those rounds, the open-L knives, and got precious metals as well. Dalton is here, so we're going to get some 6.5 stories going here in just a second, and Daniel's joined us from a neighbor of Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
Nature's Nuance.
Nature's Nuance. Now, do you have a chance here to dish some dirt? What it's like to be a neighbor to Ron, Nancy, and Angela? Are they trouble to have as neighbors?
No, they're about as good a neighbor as we could get.
It's your chance to rat them out, because I got Bill Rollins from News 5 here, and he'll do a story on how out of control they are here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So, Nature's Nuance. What do y'all do?
We make handcrafted soaps. Bath products such as mineral salts for soaking.
Okay.
We do scrubs, salt and sugar scrubs for exfoliating. We have a variety of bath products, but our specialty is our handcrafted soaps. We have about 2.5 dozen different fragrances, all made with organic oils and organic essential oils.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the question I'm sure you get when you talk to people. That first thing, how do you decide to do this? How do you get into this? This is not like this is a pretty specialized thing you do.
Yes. Well, my granddaughter had a bout with some really, really dry skin and itchiness, and we did some research and developed a soap for her, and it worked so well for her, we started expanding, and we gave soaps away to our friends, and pretty soon we were doing it in such volume that we decided to open a store. Wait,
Daniel, this is like a real cottage industry story. So you started there at the house, you're doing this thing for family.
Yes.
And then you're like, well, this is people like this.
Yes.
Yes. When you make these soaps, I mean, I'm sure there's some base elements that go in soaps,
yes.
Right? But then you're putting your own special touches on this.
Yes. Soaps are basically fats and lye to turn it into the fatty acids that are soaps. And as our fats, we use exclusively organic vegetable oils. And then as our fragrances, we use exclusively organic essential oils. So they're as pure and as natural as any soap you could buy anywhere.
All right. So if people want to see more about this selection and this hometown product, it's a hometown product.
Yes. Yes.
How do they, other than looking at the rowdy folks here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and going nearby, what's your address? How do they find you?
We're at 2200 Government Street. We're just two doors down from our good friends here at Mobile Bay Coins.
Okay.
And we're at the corner of Mohawk.
Okay.
And so we're very easy to find.
And hours? Hours open? What hours are you open?
We're open 10 till 6, Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
And we have a lot of specials going on for Christmas. And if you mention this show, you get an additional 20% off. So.
Oh, now. Now we're talking. So yes. If they say, hey, Daniel, I heard you on Midday Mobile, I heard you on FM Talk 106.5, you're going to cut them
an extra 20% off over any deal that we have running.
All right. So let me just go ahead and say this. I heard you, Daniel, on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. So if you can start working on a basket for me over there, I'll be there after the show to pick some up.
Absolutely.
All right,
happy
good
to
deal.
Do that.
Well, I appreciate it. And best of luck and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
All right. Now it's the time of the week when all those stories that I missed, and there were bunches of them, get brought to the sunshine, get the daylight put on them by Dalton. It's time for 6.5 stories on Midday Mobile. Great band playing. Maybe we don't. Can't.
You never know with that band.
It's always a challenge being out of studio. It's okay. All right. So 6.5 stories usually is peppered with stories about animals out of control. People from Florida.
Yes.
Like Florida Man. Quite often stories about people made bad choices after having too much alcohol, maybe at a Christmas event.
That's a majority of the stories.
All right. So am I hitting on any of the numbers?
Actually, I think we've got a little bit of each one of those stories this week, and we'll see if we can get through how many we can get through here in this first segment.
Okay, let's go.
Chipotle. Chipotle, pretty good restaurant.
Yeah.
They had some issues in the past with some of the food, and I think it was an E. coli outbreak back in like 2017.
Nah, these days, who doesn't have an E. coli outbreak?
Seriously.
Man.
But they had some changes in management back then in 2017.
Right.
You had the old brand manager, I think his name was Nicoli, and then they had the new guy come in. So, you know, most places, when someone calls in sick to work, the boss just kind of has to take their word for it, right? They say, okay. And they'll do the, not feel it. Bad acting most of the time.
Yes.
Well, Chipotle, to ensure, you know, they don't want anyone sick coming into the restaurant, putting germs on any of the food. So maybe that led to an increase of Chipotle employees calling out sick. So what has Chipotle gone and done? According to the CEO in a press conference this week, Chipotle now has health professionals, aka nurses, on hand to diagnose workers that call in to say that they're sick. And these nurses are there to make sure that they're sick and not actually, you know, missing work because of a hangover.
Wait a second. So does the nurse go to the employee's house, or does the employee come to work and they get checked out by the nurse?
Well, the CEO says we have nurses on call, so that if you say, hey, I've been sick, you get the call into the nurse. The nurse then validates that it's not a hangover, you're really sick, and then we pay for the day off for you to get healthy again.
So, but the cocktail flu is not one of the covered...
No.
Okay. We're coming right back. More 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig right here on Midday Mobile Live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And your chance to stop on by and get a little bit of lunch, visit. That's what we're doing. Everybody, Bill Riles is here. We got the whole gang from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ben is here. There's a bunch of folks in here, and we're all eating hot dogs and talking on a Friday. It's not a bad way to spend a day.
No, the dogs are awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, let's do this. Should we reset?
Yeah, let's reset.
If you're just joining us, this feature is called 6.5 Stories.
That's exactly right.
We don't know where. And the band's still, maybe we can't hear
the band might have been playing.
Okay, so it's 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. These are just some of the thousands of stories that I miss each week on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible to get to every story over the course of a week, even if you do broadcast, 13, 14 hours a day, like you've been doing. there's too much out there, and although we do hit a lot of fun stories, like the pigeons wearing hats out in Vegas.
Right now, my favorite story of the week, pigeons and hats.
And that would have been a clutch 6.5 story, but too good to hold on to until Friday. So these are, let's just say, all the rest of the best stories of the week, not including the pigeons wearing tiny cowboy hats.
All right, so where are we
going
with this now?
We're on story number two.
Okay.
We talked earlier about if you work at Chipotle and call in sick.
Right, they got a nurse for you.
You got to go to the nurse before they allow you to take the day off.
Right.
If you're just nursing a hangover, then too bad, so sad. Come in and pay extra, or make me pay extra for guac. But you mentioned earlier, you know, every 6.5 stories includes, we have a Florida story, we have drinking stories,
right,
drinking too much stories.
Right.
Exactly. Well, here's the Florida story. I want to go ahead and knock it out of the way early here.
All right.
And this is a group of people from Florida. And the story is very short. I just had to include it because of the headline. bus full of school kids evacuated over too much Axe body spray in Florida. Now, I don't know, you know, when I was coming up, Axe body spray, that's what all the teenagers wore. I'd be lying if I didn't say I had some Axe body spray.
I raised my hand. I never owned any Axe body spray.
So, and I hope I didn't put on too much. I don't think I did.
So how much Axe body spray, at what point, what is particulates per million or something of Axe body spray causes an evacuation of a school bus?
Some people would say any Axe body spray would be enough.
Right, but I wonder if there's a level to say, well, this is an acceptable, like they always look at like pollution in the bay or whatever. There's an acceptable amount of fecal coliform in there. Is there an acceptable amount of Axe body spray floating around?
I mean, I think if you give the can maybe two or three toots, that's about all you could probably handle in a school bus.
Get the kids out of the school bus?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what happened. They don't really say exactly what happened. They just said, and this is from the Orlando Sentinel, they said, a Florida student's use of Axe body spray was so overwhelming, a school bus driver pulled over and called for help, thinking something was wrong. They asked the students to get out of the bus. This happened in Manatee County. They were even evaluated by a local EMS.
Of course.
No one was taken to a hospital because they were like, well, this is just, you know, too much Axe body spray. That's
but
your
they were taken
here.
Out to the club. Yeah. Yeah.
After that, they went to the night at the Roxbury. But, yeah, maybe one of these kids had a can in their bag and sat the bag down, and that's how. I'm not really sure. I'd love if maybe
can you go back? Can you just for a second go back to the part where the bus driver phoned in the emergency? Right?
The school bus driver pulled over because the smell of Axe, it was so overwhelming that he thought something was wrong.
So called like probably 911 or something.
I hope
911. What's your emergency? Well, we have a lot of Axe body spray on the school bus smell, and
it is too overwhelming.
Please tell me if somebody out there has audio of the 911 call reporting the Axe body spray.
They have to release that. I think that's public record, right?
That Manatee County, we're asking you to do it right and release this.
Yeah, I don't know if it's time
for
sweeps.
That's a beautiful story.
I could have asked Bill Riles
if
Bill it was sweeps week.
I know Bill was just here,
our TV friend. Yeah, they need to dive deeper into this story. Figure out exactly which can of Axe it was also. You know, what flavor are we talking here?
I didn't even know there were. You're scaring me.
So another thing you brought up earlier, we always have a Florida story.
Yes.
We also have drinking stories, and I feel like you saw my stack of stories before I got here. So, you know, it's the end of the year.
I somehow saw the stories that you brought from the station before you got here to Mobile
Well,
Bay Coins.
I mean, we did see each other earlier in the day, but that's a good point.
I did not steal your stories.
Okay, so, end of the year, we're seeing some new lists come out.
Mm-hmm.
Best of 2019.
Right, right. Top whatever. Right, right.
Well, 24/7 Wall Street. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those sites like Wallet Hub. They come out with lists all the time. This time, a fun ranking, the annual ranking of the nation's drunkest cities.
Drunkest cities,
mm-hmm.
not drunkest college towns or anything. It's just,
well, a college town could qualify.
But what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes we'll have like the craziest college town. But
yeah.
This is not specific to college.
No, these are
it could be any drunk city.
They identify these as metro areas.
Okay,
so and to do this, you're probably wondering their qualifications.
Now I want to know the metrics.
They reviewed self-reported binge and heavy drinking states among adults in separate U.S. metro areas.
Self-reporting. This is back. I want that phone call too, along with the Axe body spray.
Well,
I'm heavy drinking. I'm self-reporting.
And I reek of Axe body spray.
Yes, I smell like Coors Light and Axe body spray. Somebody please report me.
Well, one state has 12 of the top 20 cities for the heaviest drinkers.
Wait. One state.
One state in these United Nations.
It has more than 50%.
That's correct. 12 of the top 20 cities. What state? I mean, what state do you think it is?
It's the Sunshine State.
No, it's not. It's a little bit colder.
Oh, then it's going to be, is Wisconsin or North Dakota?
Wisconsin.
Because Wisconsin leads to drinking stuff usually. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Milwaukee's best, right?
Yes, that's right.
They've got plenty of beer, plenty of cheese, and plenty
Sheboygan.
Of snow. The three all kind of go hand in hand. So, according to this report, well, first off, nationwide, 18% of adults drink excessively. So, as a nation, I think that's a pretty high number as a nation. 18%.
But if somehow Wisconsin seceded from the United States,
mm-hmm.
it would be 1% of Americans drink.
Yeah, they make up so much of the nation's drinking. All right, the number one city,
okay.
The number one drunkest city in the United States.
I love this discussion.
Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, which is now actually changed its name to Appletini.
Yeah, Appletini. I don't think they drink Appletinis there. I think maybe 40s.
I have been to Appleton. Yes.
Well, 26.8%. Of Appleton are heavy drinkers.
And you know what the rest of them are? Damn liars.
That's exactly right. So going down the list, number two, Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
By gosh.
Home of Oshkosh, by gosh. Actually, I don't really know if that's true. I think that's just the store. But Oshkosh, two. Three, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Home of the Packers.
Yes.
And heavy drinkers. Number four, Madison, Wisconsin. Then we get out of Wisconsin. Number five here, Fargo, North Dakota.
Well, yeah, we moved west by about 70 miles to Fargo, where we get, yeah.
So Fargo in at number five. Then another couple Wisconsins here. La Crosse, Wisconsin at number six.
Love their boots.
I'm going to mispronounce this one. Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac, yeah.
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Number eight, Ames, Iowa. Also yes. A college town there. Number nine.
It's also where they have some of the Iowa caucus stuff that's happening first, of course, in the presidential cycle.
Oh.
So not only will they be first in making some decisions here on who might be our next president, or if President Trump holds on to it, they will also be drunk while they do it.
And so you can't rely on those polls
That's why the Iowa caucus data is always so different than what we see in other states. It's because they're smashed.
They have no idea who they're going to vote for. They might want to vote for some person today, and then when they're drinking on election day, it's somebody else. So, yeah, they're number eight there. And Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire.
All right. Well, they need to change the spelling of that thing.
Yeah, they really say things weird.
Mankato, Minnesota comes in at number 10. And then you got some more Wisconsin's. Missoula.
Mankato.
Mankato. Grand Forks, North Dakota. So you're seeing the trend here. We got a lot of northern states, Iowa, Nebraska.
No, we don't have a lot of northern states. We have two. No, we have three. We have Iowa's in the mix as well. But we have North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Iowa.
And then you get to Lincoln, Nebraska, at number 18. Iowa City, number 19. And then Corvallis, Oregon, number 20. So they're the outlier there.
Yeah, they just throw those in for just spice. If it was a GIS map showing color intensity, or like a hurricane when they show you the worst of it, mm-hmm. It's like the purple is the worst, and then just outside the purple, it's light purple, and then it gets blue, and it finally goes up to green. So right there in Wisconsin, it would be like dark, dark purple for mm-hmm. drinking density. And then as you got out further and further from that epicenter, you would start getting into the places where maybe it's a lighter purple or something.
Cat like five, for sure, there in Wisconsin.
In Appletini, Wisconsin, it's really dark purple.
And listen to this stat. La Crosse, which came in at number six on the list, they have the most bars per capita. 6.9 bars for every 10,000 people. Across Wisconsin.
Well, I wonder what the normal ratio is.
They said for the U.S.
Like, New Orleans?
It's right around I don't know New Orleans. But it's not higher than this place here in Wisconsin.
So the highest in the nation, they're saying, is 6.9.
For every 10,000 people.
That seems like it's not enough.
Well, the average around the nation is 1.5 per 10,000 people. And then you go to the driest cities after that, and this isn't a surprise either.
They're all in Utah.
Utah, that's right. Provo, Utah is mm-hmm. number one, only 9.2%. of the people there binge drink, but you know this is self-reporting also. So
Romney's doing keg stands.
Might be talking about somebody who has a couple beers and they're like, "Whoa, I need to take it easy." Then Utah, West Virginia came in at number three. Beckley, West Virginia. Number three.
Can I point something out there?
Yeah.
Throw that whole story away.
Why is that?
Because Beckley, West Virginia. When I was gone for a few days last month, or at the beginning of this month, I was very close to Beckley, West Virginia, which uh-huh. is just across.
Could you smell it? You could smell Beckley.
So I was in Pennsylvania, in South Central Pennsylvania, right across the line. There's a little strip of Maryland there where, if you ever look at the map and you see how Maryland's kind of funky shaped, it gets a narrow strip where it's right along the Potomac River. There's a railroad. It comes from what was happened during the Civil War. They protected the railroad in a little section of the. The Potomac there, you go just through there, and you're in Beckley, West Virginia. Now, in Pennsylvania, they have their liquor control is even more ridiculous than it is here in Alabama.
Mm, yeah.
Maryland, I don't know. You get to Beckley, West Virginia, you get nothing in Pennsylvania. You can't have fireworks, you can't have liquor, you get to Beckley, West Virginia, right across the line,
mm-hmm.
and it's nothing but liquor stores, clothing optional dance establishments, and fireworks stands.
Yeah. It's like Sin City right
there. Where I've tried to move there several times. There's not any radio gigs there.
So it's like the bar on the county line.
Yeah, so it's Beckley, West Virginia. It's supposed to be.
They're talking about citizens here. So maybe,
maybe that's just all people from Pennsylvania coming through there to drink.
That's exactly right.
Well,
that could be it. And then you go down more Utah. Parkersburg, West Virginia is number six, but they also have the fifth highest smoking rate.
Yeah, and they might not want to drink because they're too busy with opioids.
Only two Alabama cities. We're in the top 20 driest cities. Of course, we didn't have any in the drunkest cities, but Gadsden City, that was at number 19.
Home of Roy Moore.
Home of Roy Moore. Only 12.9% of the citizens of Gadsden City drink there. And then number 20, Anniston, Oxford, Jacksonville, Alabama. They put them all, grouped them all together there. So two Alabama cities make it into the driest cities. Other than that, Utah dominates, and surprisingly, West Virginia and some Tennessee cities there, too.
Well, the Tennessee, well, I mean, what, Lynchburg, where they make Jack Daniels?
It's dry. That's right. But Lynchburg didn't make the list. You did have Johnson City at number 9, and they put Knoxville in there at number 11 or 12. Now, there is a university there in Knoxville that I believe is known for drinking.
Never heard of it.
Every now and then. So there you go, the top 20 drunkest cities and the top 20 driest cities.
The Beckley West. There's probably no one here that has any idea where I'm talking about.
Of Beckley.
But I know this place. I just was by this place. It is like, you know, like when you drive out of municipalities in the county and it's fireworks and all the good stuff out there. Beckley is like one big county line. All the things that are moved off out of a state or a county are in Beckley, West Virginia.
Yeah, and when we get back, I've got a story that goes hand in hand with that story we just had about drinking and being in Wisconsin.
There we go. All right, coming right back, more of 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. We are live at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Come see us. And while you're here, grab yourself a hugger for that beverage you're not going to have.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Come see us. A lot to check out here at the store. And heads up, too, while we're talking about Christmas gifts out there, you think about the guys on your Christmas list, you might want to get them one of these engravable rounds here at Mobile Bay Coins. Also, think about hooking them up with something from Harry's, like one of those Harry's shave sets. Well, right now, listeners of the show can get $5 off any Harry's shave set when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. And the free shipping ends December 16th, so you need to act this weekend. You need to get cracking on this. It's a practical gift. It's a great gift. And Harry's has sets starting at just $20, which is within your Secret Santa limit. And Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy's going to save money over time when it comes to shaving. And a special offer for y'all, we partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you enter code MOBILE at harrys.com. Plus, you get free shipping. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle, the option to engrave, 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, and packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Free shipping ends on December 16th, so act now and use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. That's code MOBILE. All right, we continue with 6.5 Stories and Dalton Norwig. And where are we now?
We are on story number 4, so we'll try to move through these with a little bit of speed.
All right.
Here. And
All right.
You know, we just went over the top 20 drunkest cities in the nation.
Yes, yes.
And coming straight from city number 14, Janesville, Wisconsin, a Janesville man was charged with 4th offense intoxicated driving, which it really fits the bill of this city at this point.
it's a theme.
And this comes after sheriff's deputies were called out early Monday morning for a report of men trying to flag down passing cars. So this is what happened. At 12:45 a.m. this last Monday, deputies encountered a parked SUV and two men who admitted getting into a fist fight over the TV show How I Met Your Mother. Now, what's strange about this is both said that they loved the show.
I love it more.
So they were, I don't know if they were arguing over a plot point or, you know, who the mother ended up being in this show, How I Met Your Mother. I know you probably haven't seen.
I haven't even seen.
Yeah,
I didn't
even
need
to ask.
Preview for,
so,
no.
So you got two guys. They actually went to the Packers game in Green Bay on Sunday, which Green Bay, the third drunkest city in Wisconsin. So they went from the third drunkest city to the 14th drunkest city,
right,
and then got into a fight over a show is set in New York, but I think they're from Minnesota or something like that. They were charged with, one of them was charged with felony offense and 2 counts of bail jumping for violating the terms of bonds that required him not to drink. So not his first brush with the law. The two men argued about the show that ended in 2014, and there you have it, jail time in Janesville, Wisconsin.
They were so when they go into jail, if they were with some rough customers, what are you in here for? We were fighting? Yeah, I fight too. What were you fighting about? Well, the plot twist and how I met your mother or something?
It must have been that. I don't know. Did someone touch your girl? No. What happened was, I got into a disagreement.
How'd you get disrespected?
Well, because over a TV show.
That's exactly what happened. All right, story number five here. We go to Newaygo County, Michigan, and we got some family drama here. So they write from this website, a DNR conservation officer recently learned that firsthand when he investigated a dispute between two brothers in which one of them eventually admitted to spraying deer repellent around his brother's hunting stand. So we had some family drama here, and one brother goes out.
Chemical warfare, man.
Before the other brother goes hunting and sprays deer repellent from around his brother's hunting stands. This officer, he was given two SD cards from trail cameras, showed a subject wearing a yellow backpack sprayer covering two hunting stands located on...
Oh, not only did he spray, he brought his backpacks like his nice.
That's exactly right. And he sprayed these two hunting stands with what they call an unknown substance. They later figured out that it was some kind of deer repellent. They talked to the brother here, and he added he was extremely frustrated by his brother's continued harassment. So some family drama, some harassment, and you have one brother spraying deer repellent on the hunting stands of his other brother.
You know, the scary stuff is that kind of stuff will make the news, but that's the kind of knuckleheaded stuff that we didn't do that specifically, but I could easily have been one of the people in that story at some point in my life. You know?
He said what he sprayed on his brother's hunting stands. You might know this. He called it Liquid Fence. I don't know if that's a brand or what we're talking about here.
I don't know, because you know something people don't look for in Alabama?
Deer repellent. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can I spray some of that on my car while I'm driving? Would that help at all?
If they can smell you at 80 miles an hour. So it might be this malangrolite or something, but I don't know what it is. It's something we don't study. I mean, we do some, and when we're growing crops and soybeans, mm-hmm. and trying to keep them out of early crops, but generally the rest of the state that's not farming is not trying to repel deer at any time.
Not at all. All right, this might be our last story. We'll find out.
Okay.
We might run out of time here, but this might be my favorite story of the week. So we've got this sports reporter, Jane Slater. She's 38 years old. I thought her name was Jen. Might be mistyped here. She's a correspondent with the NFL Network, and she got on Twitter to tell a little story about a Christmas present she got a few years back. She tweeted, an ex-boyfriend once got me a Fitbit for Christmas. You know, the fitness trackers that go on your arm. She said, I loved it. We synced up. We motivated each other. I didn't hate it until he was unaccounted for at 4 a.m. and his physical activity levels were spiking on the app. So they synced their Fitbits together.
Okay.
You could see what the other counterpart was doing, and he wasn't there at home at 4 a.m.
But he was involved in some kind of vigorous activity?
He was apparently exercising early in the morning.
Right.
She said, spoiler alert, he was not enrolled in an Orange Theory class at 4 a.m. So these Fitbit apps, they track just about everything you do. And this tech expert who they went to for this story, I think they didn't need to do that. He said, if you're trying to be private, you should not wear one. Every device now is connected to the Internet. Slater said, she was heartbroken. They broke up, and he admitted to the cheating at 4 a.m. with the Fitbit that caught him red-handed.
Okay, so she sees it. She sees this extra activity. He has no good excuse. She mm-hmm. says, "What was that?" Okay? Just to be a warning to y'all out there. I mean, I'm a guy that I got to tell you, and I'll get the nasty emails about it. I really question those of y'all that have joint Facebook accounts,
mm-hmm.
let alone having some kind of fitness tracker linked together. I just...
Because, I mean, you're going to be tracked, right? They're going to use that to track you.
That's too... I don't want some
either
kind of...
Because very often it's the man looking in to see what the woman is up to. But
all right.
In this case.
There is... So the cliffhanger for next week is the other one and a half stories that we'll do on next week's Midday Mobile. Ed Rowan's on the way in next. Big thank you to everybody here at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry for having us out. Y'all come see them, get registered for that big gift pack, and make sure to take advantage of the great deals going on today at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, and Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Sean. Good to see you again, buddy.
It's good to see you as well, and I know you're like crazy busy representing so many of the veterans out there in the 3M earplug case. I got to believe that many, if not all of our veterans, are aware of this by now, but I would imagine 100% of the veterans that served would want to know if they have a case. That's probably what's going through people's minds.
We're very busy representing veterans, and we're signing a lot of veterans up. But I do think that there are a lot of veterans out there that are holding back and just hesitant to join this case. And I want to communicate to them that they should at least give us a call and get some information about whether they qualify and whether they should join this action, because I can give them that information.
As a Marine, as a veteran, help me understand, what would hold them back? Why would a vet not have called?
Well, I think we've talked about this before, but certainly the mindset of our troops and the reason why, you know, we are so strong militarily in this country is because we don't produce a bunch of whiners in our military.
Right.
You know, we have guys that tough it out, and ladies, and that's what the training is. I mean, the core of the training is to endure difficult things through all circumstances, and the military does that really well, and that continues on for the rest of their life. And so even to this day, when I go to a doctor, I sometimes feel a little guilty about saying, okay, yeah, my back hurts or whatever, because of the training that I had 30 years ago. So that's one of the reasons. And the other reason is just some of the misconceptions out there about this case.
Now, you and I were talking, and help explain this to me, because I don't have the insight you do, that vets can get disability for hearing loss and tinnitus, even with a 0% rating, or they don't have a rating. What does rating mean? How does that work for a civilian like me? What do you talk about?
So this is one of the things I wanted to talk about. Thanks for asking it. So the a veteran can have a permanent injury and then get rated through the VA for that permanent injury. And that can be for a number of things. Hearing loss and tinnitus are two of those things. And those are the same injuries that we're dealing with in this case. I have a lot of veterans that come to me that don't have a hearing rating or a tinnitus rating, meaning that the VA says, well, you may have an injury, but we're going to assign you a zero rating. And then I go and I look at their records, their audiograms, and they definitely have a hearing loss and they definitely have tinnitus. So what I'm finding is the VA's rating system is flawed. So we don't go by what the VA says in their labels. We take an independent look at the audiograms, all the medical records, when determining if you have a claim.
Okay, you explained this before, but this is key to it, because there is a benchmark here. I understand this. There's a benchmark for people's hearing when they go into the military, and you have that audiogram to compare it to.
So another cool thing about this case, yes, is the science that goes into determining the case and analyzing the case and the evidence that we have. So when you go into the military, you get poked, prodded, and touched everywhere, and hearing tests, eye tests, all that. So yeah, we know what your hearing's like going into the military, and then, you know, we can track the earplugs that you received. We can track the types of exposure that you were exposed to. And the interesting thing too is that the military studies all of the sounds that come from machinery and weapons and all that, and I've got charts and charts that show how loud everything is. So interestingly, for instance, the most common type of weapon, it would be the 5.56 weapon. When mm-hmm. I was around, it was the M16A2. Nowadays it'd be more the M4, but it's your 5.56 weapon. Mm-hmm. That has 156 decibels, okay?
You got a chart with this on it. You know the decibels.
I know the decibels.
The report from the rifle.
A Humvee is very unlike the Hummer you get down the road at the dealership.
Okay.
Humvee in the military is 88 decibels. To gauge that, that's about as loud as a smoke alarm going off about 5 feet from your ear. So that thing...
Yes. The engine and the machine. Wow.
I don't think McConnell or whoever sells those suckers would sell many Humvees from the military if they were this loud, but that can damage your hearing. So you've got constant noise, and then you've got the intermittent noises, you know, like shooting. So for intermittent noises like shooting, the human ear, average human ear, can sustain 140 decibels for 28 seconds. So you need that earplug to bring that decibel down below 140.
Because you said it's 156.
156. Now, these earplugs, the maximum they're going to bring them down, the decibel level that is 11 decibels. So if you're wearing these earplugs and you're shooting an M16, if you're an average person, you know, according to scientific studies, you will suffer permanent hearing loss, okay? And everyone in the military has to go through rifle qualification and basic training and once a year. So just that alone, if you're in a Humvee and you're wearing these earplugs, you're going to be right at the threshold of having a hearing loss, because the constant noise you can sustain 80 decibels for 8 hours a day. So you need to bring that down. If you're going to have 8 hours a day of a sound, you need to bring that down below 80. So if you're in a Black Hawk helicopter, mm-hmm. that's 108 decibels, I believe. So you need to bring that down to 80. So you need around 20-something or 30 decibels of reduction. 11
You just told me that we're these things, these earplugs, 11 decibels. That's it.
Literally.
They missed the mark on all three here.
Yeah. I mean, our troops would have been better off literally getting, you know, wax from a candle and sticking it in their ear than wearing these earplugs. I mean, these things should have been thrown in the trash, and 3M should have just gone by their merry way and say, hey, I'll take my $10 billion I'm making on everything else, but I'm not going to risk the troops. That didn't happen. They pushed these earplugs to the government, to the military, like they were the best thing since sliced bread, the latest and greatest, and they were the latest and the worst.
Misses the mark on all these examples. Okay, if you mentioned disability, if a veteran is already on disability, does this lawsuit have any effect on those disability claims?
Great question. Another big issue with veterans is, okay, I'm receiving disability payments right now for my hearing loss or tinnitus, and that's a sure thing. It's not going away. I don't want to risk that by getting into some lawsuit for an injury that happened when I was in the military. This has been researched and studied, and it is a fact that if you have service-related disability payments, you know, because of, you know, the sound that hurts your ears, suffering hearing loss or tinnitus, this lawsuit, any settlement in this lawsuit will not affect any payments that you're going to get from your disability.
That's probably a question a lot of people have.
Yeah, I added that to my contract. I put a line in there saying, I want you know, to be assured that, you know, we will not enter a settlement that would affect your service-related disability payments, because I just want to make sure that the veterans that I'm representing are comforted and know that that is a fact, and they can trust, you know, the actual contract. But it is a fact. This is not going to affect your service-related disability payments if you enter this lawsuit.
All right. When one of the veterans picks up the phone to contact you, you're a Marine. They can speak to you as a Marine. That means a lot. I mean, y'all speak a language that civilians don't speak.
Well, it's just a fact, because when you've been through that, any branch of the military, it changes your mindset. And so there is sort of a hidden communication, almost like a secret handshake that people in the military have with other people in the military. Part of it may be a bluntness. You know, if you're in the military and been in there, you are usually blunt speaking, and you like people to speak blunt to you as well. And I'm blunt. I am. I'm a blunt lawyer. I mean, I love my clients, but I tell them things straight up. Sometimes I try to soften it, but certainly with the military guys, I can kind of get into my mold, and they like that blunt mentality that
speak
I have.
Speak veteran to veteran with them.
Talk your talk, I walk your walk. That's right.
All right. So let's say this. Somebody who has heard us talk in the past but hadn't contacted you, once again, tell them, I mean, you've laid out these things that might have been some kind of headwind for them. There's no reason for them not at least to call and find out, right? I mean, if they have questions, you're going to answer that.
Right. People in the military are probably, that are holding back or saying, you know, for whatever reason, it could be one of the reasons I discussed or any other reason why they think this is going to be a waste of time, this and that, whatever. But what's wrong with calling up a veteran like myself, someone that served in the Marines, and talking to me and just getting literally free advice? So you can just call me up and get free advice. And if you don't like how it sounds after that, then at least you've been informed. And everybody should be informed about this, because if you've served your country and you have permanent hearing loss or tinnitus, you deserve to be in this lawsuit. And it protects veterans and people that serve in the military going down the road, because we got to make sure that companies don't intentionally market dangerous safety devices, knowing it's more likely than not going to hurt those troops. They need to be punished, and that's what we're here to do. So I need veterans to join in this case.
All right. Get them the message now, so lest somebody tries this in the future with our fighting men and women. As always, I appreciate the info, Ed, and thanks for being part of the show.
Thanks, Sean, as always.
You can reach Ed Rowan at Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. That's taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.